We pray, Lord, in these moments that as we open up your word and as we explore this story of Noah again today, for many of us, we've heard it time and time again, but we pray that you would make it fresh and new in our life and remind us of the promises that you make. Remind us that you're a God that never breaks your promises, and help us to stand on your word and to go out this week as a people of promise, to bring your presence into our world. In Christ's name, amen. The story of Noah is a familiar one, and it's one of those epic stories in Scripture. It's a big event with big consequences and grand themes. It's such a big and powerful story that it's no surprise that it's told over and over and over again. In fact, those who probably never even picked up a Bible have heard of Noah and the Ark, because it's such a big story. And so it's told again and again in different ways and in different modes and different means and different mediums. One of my favorite renditions is Evan Almighty, a movie that came out just a few years ago, and it's a modern day parable. The writers there of that particular movie weren't completely trying to be accurate to Scripture. We can just say that the story's been heavily tweaked. And one of the things that I really appreciate in the movie, though, is the way that they depict God's call to build the ark. See, in Scripture, we have to read between the lines, or else maybe Noah is a much better guy than me, because in Scripture, all that it indicates is that Noah heard God's voice and he immediately responded to this call. Simply says God spoke, Noah didn't question, Noah didn't hesitate, Noah didn't. He simply heard God's voice and he obeyed. Now, I know that's the way that we're supposed to be. I know that's what we're looking for in our life. But this is such a huge thing. Can you imagine what God is asking Noah to do? In the middle of the desert, to build this humongous ship. We call it a boat, but it was more like a ship. With no tools, no know-how, and to expect that God's going to send a flood sometime in the future. This was a huge act of faith, and I know if God were asking me, I'd probably have a few questions, a little bit of hesitancy. I might have set out a fleece like Caleb, a test to make sure that this was actually God speaking to me. And I hadn't just come down with like mad cow disease or something, you know. Started hearing voices talking to me because this is such a weird and huge call of God. Or I might have tried to run away like Jonah. My initial response would probably have been a little bit more like Steve Carell's character, Evan. He has some doubts. God's calling him. He tries to deny, to get out of it, and God has to convince him. Why don't you just watch for yourself here?
What an ark! You see him?
It's a good story. They're teaching some good values in the movie about loving each other, growing closer as a family, having faith in one another, changing the world through acts of random kindness. Arc, get it? Acts of random kindness. But they diverge a bit from what's going on in the original Noah narrative. And even though they do that, I think it's still a really good story. And there's one other scene that I want to show you, because even though they change the story quite a bit, this is one place where I think these modern-day storytellers really got something right about Noah and the Ark. So let's watch one more clip together.
He's a mope.
Noah is not a story of God's anger and wrath. It's a story of God's love. Well, maybe you're not convinced. Why don't we just go back to the original version, because the original is always the best version, that we might begin to see even this, even the flood, as an expression of God's love for all of His creation. So if you want to follow along, the whole story is found in Genesis chapter 6, starting in Genesis chapter 6 all the way through chapter 9. Don't worry, we're not going to read the whole story together or go through it all. We're going to focus especially on the conclusion there in chapter 9. But most of us know the basics of the story. God created everything back in Genesis 1 and 2. Over and over and over again there, when God creates the entire world, the entire cosmos, He says, it's good. This is good. This is good. This is blessed. Or some people say, I done good. He created a good creation. Genesis 1 and 2. By the time we get to Genesis 3, we're doubting and disobeying the Almighty Creator. And then the very next chapter in Genesis 4, we have brother killing brother. Sin enters the story and the whole creation is distorted through our disobedience. And already at the beginning of Genesis chapter 6, the Word says that the thoughts of the human heart were only evil continually, and that the whole earth was full of violence and lawlessness. And the Lord was sorry that he made human beings in the first place. And the scripture says, now this was powerful. It's there in chapter 6. Scripture says that his heart was filled with pain. That the Lord's heart was filled with pain over what was going on in his good creation. See, we got to think about God's perspective on all of this. He gave us all good things to enjoy. He loved us. He created this universe for us. And we turn away from him so quickly and so easily. And we turn to evil, and then all of a sudden violence and lawlessness fills the earth, and we're wrecking and destroying God's good creation. And God, just like any good parent, allows us to experience the consequences of our actions. See, the waters, the chaos that God separates there in Genesis 1 and 2, excuse me, God separates the waters from the waters. God separates the expanse to make room for creation. In Genesis 1, it says He separates the waters from above the expanse and the waters below the expanse and makes sky. So He separates all of this chaos and makes room for His good creation to come forth. And yet as we turn away from Him to evil, God begins to allow that chaos and those waters to fall back in on us. It's almost as if God is saying, if you really want chaos, you can have it. If that's really your choice, then I'll let you have it. The chaos, the waters. He allows them, and it's almost as if God removes His hand and allows the waters to fall back in. And I can't imagine how painful that was for the Lord. I mean, some of us who are parents and we've watched our kids make bad choices, how painful it is for us not to intervene and to allow them to go down a very destructive path. And the Lord removes His hand, and Scripture says His heart was filled with pain. But the flood wasn't meant to destroy the earth. Because if He wanted to destroy everything, He would have just let us continue down the path that we were on. We were already on the path of self-destruction. If He wanted the whole world to be blown up, He would just let us go. Let us go at each other. No, the waters were meant to wash away evil, to baptize the earth, to offer a fresh future for creation. Speaking of fresh, I don't imagine that it smelt very fresh on the ark. On Wednesday, I mentioned that it was my job at home to clean out the litter box. And I wonder who the lucky person was who got the job to clean the poop deck on the ark. Because I do my fair share of cleaning poop these days. And that's just one kid and three cats. I can't imagine two of every kind of animal. And maybe that's where we got the word poop deck from. I'm not sure. Probably not, though. But I'm sure we can imagine that the odor was something less than pleasant for the entire time. And so it doesn't surprise me then that the first thing that Noah does when they finally get off the ark is build an altar and offer a burnt sacrifice, a burnt offering. Now don't get me wrong, I imagine that it was an act of worship, an expression of praise and thanksgiving to God for saving them from the flood and preserving his family, but I also think he was just trying to get rid of the bad smell. I think that because it actually says in the Word that when God smelled the pleasing aroma of the sacrifice, he determined not to destroy all living creatures again. Apparently God didn't like the smell of the ark all that much either. And I envision Noah and his family coming off the ark into the fresh air to face a fresh future with fresh faith. And when we reach the wonderful conclusion there in Genesis 9, 8 through 17, I want to read those verses together this morning. And in fact, why don't we just stand together? If you're able for the reading of the Word. Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him. I now establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you. Every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and a rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on earth. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. I just begin to think, what a powerful image of God's love. What a promise He makes. That no matter what happens from this point on, God is sorry for what He's done in a sense. He's sorry for flooding the earth, that He sees the faithfulness of Noah and his family. And He says, never again will I remove my hand like that. Never again will I allow the chaos to consume you. And He's given us a sign of that promise. And so every time we see a rainbow, we should remember that God keeps His promises, that God's word is true, that we can trust Him, and that He loves us. And as Noah and his family step out in the fresh air, God offers a fresh start, and it requires fresh faith to follow Him into the future. But the flood happened a long, long, long time ago. And I'm sure we're all glad we weren't alive then. But what does this have to do with us today? Some of you are going, you know, we haven't seen a flood like that, well, since the flood. So what does any of this have to do with us today and with my walk with Christ? Well, it's time to ask the epic question this morning. So what? So what? So what does the ark have to do with us? The reality is that we still live in flood territory. The chaos still surrounds us and threatens to drown us. Not much has changed in our world, has it? Lawlessness, violence still covers the earth. Men and women still choose the path of destruction rather than the path of life. And we're assaulted by the enemy continually. Here's the good news. God has made a way through the waters of chaos, through the flood, through all of that, into His salvation, into His ark. And that way is Jesus Christ. We go through the waters of baptism, being baptized in the very life of Christ, as all our sin and violence and lawlessness is washed away, put to death. We're new creatures through Christ. God baptized the earth through a flood. God baptized us into the very death of Christ. He's put to death our evil, our sinfulness, our lawlessness, our violence, so that we can have new life in Christ, in His ark, in His salvation for us, if we'll follow Him with fresh faith. Because as we step out of the waters of baptism, we come into the fresh air of the kingdom. And our future is changed because of Christ. See, God's way of salvation leads us to Christ, but it also leads us into the church. You know, the ark has been a symbol for the church for a long time. And I think it's an appropriate symbol because the ark was full of wild animals. And the church sometimes feels like it's full of wild animals. And the ark really smelled like poo. And sometimes the church really smells like poo. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? But it's still God's vehicle to redeem and renew all of creation. And so we're brought together in the ark in this covenant community, a community of promise, a community that shares relationship with God. And that means we're a people who stand on the promises of God. In other words, we stand on His Word, we trust Him, we follow Him. We know that when God says something, He follows through. When God makes a promise, He's true to His Word, and He never backs down. But if we're a people of promise, then we've got to be people who keep our promises as well. Because others won't believe the truth of the Word unless those who represent Christ on earth are true to their Word. Let me say that again in case you missed it. Others will not believe the truth of the Word of God, that God is a God of promise, unless those who represent Christ are true to their Word. So we have to be a people who keep our promises and stay true to our Word. We find that when God brings us into this community of promise, even though it might smell from time to time, and even though it's full of animals, it's a lot better than being out in the flood. It's a lot better than being out in the chaos. Bill Cosby had a whole routine on God's conversations with Noah. And towards the end, Noah says, "Well, I'm sick and tired of this. I've had enough of this stuff. I've been working all day, working on this ark day after day after day after day, and I'm just sick and tired of it, and people are making fun of me, and I'm just tired of it." "Noah," God said, "yeah? How long can you tread water? The ark, the church may not be perfect, but it's a whole lot better than being out in the chaos, trying to tread water, trying to keep our head above the chaos and trying not to drown." Through the community of promise, through this covenant community, God offers us a fresh future, everlasting life. And then He opens up all kinds of opportunities for renewal, redemption, restoration, and blessing. Not only blessing for us, but blessing for all of those around us. I mean, just thinking of our own church. We're coming up here, this church on 10th Street, we're coming up to our 10-year celebration this spring. We weren't here 10 years ago. This whole ministry is God's doing. And I just think about this building. 10 years ago, actually only 8 years ago, this was a warehouse. And it housed manure, fertilizer, and pigeons. And there was pigeon poo all over the place. This is our ark. I mean, I think God has a sense of humor, right? And we cleaned out the poo and made the space where miracles are happening day after day after day after day. I mean, I think about our daycare, the Rock Daycare. I mean, there are kids, nearly 100 kids that are touched through that ministry every week, that their lives are touched. That's a miracle, folks. And Pastor Jennifer, our children's pastor, gets to teach them Bible stories and sing Christian songs with them. And some of them don't belong to any church. And I think of the thousands of people who are fed through our food pantry. That's a miracle. Or the hundreds of people who are sick and hurting and are touched in our medical clinic and healed and given what they need. That's a miracle. See, God took this space and transformed it into something for His glory, into something for His praise, into something that He could use and work through. And He can do the same thing with our lives. And so I've been thinking about all of the miracles, and there's so many, too many to even mention, that have happened through this ministry, through reaching our city and New Life community over the past 10 years. Every Friday, women are encouraged emotionally, spiritually, and every day hundreds of people are prayed for. Because God is a God of transformation, and He uses His ark to bring people into His salvation. And that's just a small picture of what goes around here every week. But the reality is, I don't think God is finished yet. I believe that He's brought us here for a reason. I believe that He's put us here in this community for a reason. I believe that He's brought us into this ark for a reason. And that He's given us a promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's a promise. Christ said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's here with us. And I believe He has so much more for us to do and so much more to do through us in the next 10 years. And so Kelsey, she's going to come at this time and she's going to lead us in a response song. And I want this to be a time where we allow the Spirit to wash away whatever evil may be in our life. I want this to be a time where we truly lift up our hearts to Him, where we consecrate our lives to the Lord, so that we might experience fresh faith today to move into God's future. And as we sing, as we get towards the end of this song together, what I want us to do as a community, those who are part of New Life Community, those who are part of this ministry, those who are expecting God to do new things in the future, I want us to gather around up here up front, stepping out with fresh faith, expecting what God is going to do. And I want us to stand together and pray together, saying, Lord, You've done so much in the past 10 years. I know You want to do more. And we're standing on Your promise. And we're standing here in Your ark, and we're just asking You to fill us with that kind of faith so that we can step out into Your future for us. So as we sing, as we get to the conclusion of the song, please gather around up front and let's pray together and seek God to consecrate our lives to Him so that He might lead us into His future together. You know, God, the ark wasn't built. The ark wasn't built overnight. It took Noah quite a while to build that ark. But it started as he stepped out in faith and said yes to God's call in his life and just started putting the pieces together. And at the end of the day, he found God was faithful to His word and to His promises, and that His family and that all of creation was saved because He stepped out in an act of faith. And I pray that as we step out in faith, we'll begin to see someone's life changed, someone in the ark, someone saved from the flood because we said yes to God.